blessings of generosity. And as God has been dealing with my heart a little bit on this same subject over the course of this fast that we've taken, I think it's not my plan, but God's plan that he laid this series to do on my heart through generosity. This will also lead into an opportunity for you to give generously as well. In the beginning of February, on February 4th, we will be collecting our first fruits offering. And you'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. But we'll be talking about today about a lifestyle of generosity. A lifestyle of generosity and what that means for you and I, and how it's not just about giving money. It's not just about giving. It's something deeper, something more than that. And it's life transformational. And so today we're talking about the blessings. How many of you, if I would ask you today, you'd say, I'm a pretty generous person. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you think it to yourself, thank you, Kenneth. Yeah, you would say, I'm a pretty generous person. I'm pretty giving. And my desire for Crossroad Assembly, for this church, is that we would be known in our community, in the state, we would be known as a church that gives. A church that gives irrationally, over and above and beyond what we should be able to do. That we are a church that gives and blesses, that generosity flows through our veins. And that's going to only happen if generosity flows through your veins. Because you are the church, and the church is made up of all of us. I want to lead the way to be an example. We know it, we know the phrase, more it is more blessed to give than to receive, but I want us to live it out. I want to live that concept out with my life, and I desire that you desire to live that out in your life as well. And so, we celebrate generosity when it is given. I, for one, am grateful for all that you give. The ways that you bless this church, the way that you sacrifice financially, the way that you give to bless us, to help make sure we have the resources and the needs and the savings that we have here as a body of believers. I am humbled every time I see a monthly statement, and let me just tell you, I'm blessed by you. So let me say publicly and personally, thank you. Thank you, because you, on a weekly basis, give and give of yourself. And so I appreciate that and I celebrate that. Unfortunately, many people, maybe some of you today, a little uncomfortable when it comes to talking about generosity. Get a little squirmy in your seat, a little itchy behind the neck all of a sudden, looking around nervously. I don't know, I was going to talk about money today. Maybe some of you, if you haven't been to church in a while or you're not familiar, you might think, oh, it's another greedy church. They just want my money. And I hopefully that is not the case with the church that you might go to or your experiences in the past. But I would like to say confidently that that is a lie. The church's purpose is to serve the community, to serve the people in it and the people outside of it. And so when you give to the church, you give to the community, you give for your own spiritual development, and because, as we'll learn in a little, because of your commitment to God. It is a sad truth this morning that in our country, there are many people that are not that generous. There are many people that are not generous. Most people think they are generous, and they think that because they give. They think that just because they give, I'm going to give money, I am a generous person. But it is more than just that. You see, giving and being generous are two different things. And generosity is really something you orient your life around. It's something that you base your life on and should be a pillar of something that you stand for. This idea is mood, this life principle of generosity. This built your life around this thrill of being used by God to make a difference. How many of you have ever been, by the grace of God, used to be a blessing to someone else? God has used you, either financially or otherwise, to be a blessing to someone else. It feels good, doesn't it? It inspires you. It sparks something deep inside of you, and you just get all these warm fuzzies. That's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, you're doing it. You're doing what I love. You're being like Jesus. And we want to find that feeling, and we can't do it if we're keeping all of our stuff and our resources to ourselves. Most Americans, the reason they don't give, the reason they aren't generous, is because we don't feel rich. We don't feel rich. When we compare our lives or our bank accounts to the Gates or the Zuckerbergs of this world, we feel like a tiny insect. We just feel like a tiny flea in comparison. And because of that, because there's always someone that's a lot richer, we don't feel rich. But compared to millions of people around the world, we are very blessed and we are very rich. How many of you own a car? You got here somehow, so most of you should probably be raising your hand. Okay. Glad you used it to get here. All right. How many of you have more than one car? We do. Okay. If you own and operate a motor vehicle, you are in the top 6 to 9% of wealthiest people in the world. If you own and operate, if you can afford to purchase a car, you are in the top 6 to 9% of wealthiest people. We're in the top 10 because we came to church today. We are in the top 10% of wealthiest people in the world. That's amazing. The truth is we are rich beyond our wildest measure, beyond what we deserve, beyond our dreams, and we take this for granted every single day. How many of you within the last 2 weeks, because we were fasting this past week, how many of you went out to eat with your family or with others? Okay? I'm sure I have. I haven't actually thought of it, but I'm sure I did, okay? But to do this, we take this for granted. We get in our car, which immediately puts us in the top 6 to 9% of all people, okay? We drive said car past 6 or 7 at least different restaurants and diners and places, eating establishments on the way to our favorite restaurant or the one we're in the mood for at that moment, the type of cuisine we desire to put in our mouths and eat, all right? And then we go there, we're put off by the wait because this place never has a wait, and we had to wait for 20 stinking minutes. And we sat at a table, someone else took your order, brought you your food, you ate it all. Maybe you didn't eat it all. Maybe you had some left over that wasn't eaten. And then someone came, did the dishes for you, and you got back in that same vehicle, drove back to a place where you live, which is temperature controlled, which is, thank God, with all the cold temperatures we had, except for Freaky Friday, okay? That was weird. You might have even pressed a button that had a door opened up, which revealed a house for your car, where you park your own car, has its own house where it lives to keep it away from the elements. And we do all of this. We have a bathroom that flushes. We have a bed that you can sleep on, which is probably comfortable, hopefully. All right. We have a closet full of clothes that we go to and say, "Honey, I have nothing to wear." We are blessed beyond measure. We don't understand how good we have it here in America. No matter what our bank statement says, no matter what we feel, we are blessed beyond measure. And it is too good to be true sometimes. And we take this for granted every single day. God has given us so much, and He asks that we give a part of it back. And if we live our lives, if it is programmed into who we are as a person, in the decisions that we make, in the actions that we take, we will live a life full of blessing because of the life of generosity that is in our hearts. But we don't always live that way. Most Americans think that they're generous and they aren't. The average American gives, according to a poll, 2.8% of their income. 2.8%, that's it. To charities and nonprofit organizations. 2.8%. It gets even worse if you move up in the next bracket and go to 100,000 to 200,000, making 100 to 200,000 a year. It lowers to 2.6%. So just because we have more doesn't mean we give more, though it should. That is a stat that is not God-honoring. That's not what we do. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to do things differently. We need to lead the way with irrational generosity. And the reason that we don't give as much as we do, the reason that we are afraid to give, is this concept called the scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset. It might also be known to many people as paycheck to paycheck. You see, scarcity is a cycle. It is this cycle, and it is a state of mind that we live in. God supplies, whether we acknowledge Him or not, He gives us blessings, He gives us stuff, resources that we can spend. We consume, we use it up, we lack, we run out of it, and then we fear. And what do we do next? We consume some more. We need to get more stuff so we can use more stuff, and we run out of stuff, and we get afraid because we don't have enough stuff anymore. It's this constant cycle. We lack, we fear, we consume. We lack, we fear, we consume. We lack, we fear, consume. And it leads down a hole. Your life is based around this fear. I'm afraid, oh, I don't know, I don't have enough. I wish we could do more, but we can't. I never can seem to get ahead. No matter what I do, there's just never, ever enough. If I asked you this morning, who would love to give more? I don't know anybody who wouldn't say, well, I would love to give so much more. God agrees. That's one thing you and God can agree on. He would love to give more too. And I hope your hearts would say that as well. But the reason that we don't is because we live in this scarcity mindset. Because we feel like we can't give. Because so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. So many people are living tight. They hurt and they're afraid. Some of you, when you realize we were talking about generosity, like I said, are cringing a little. Squirming in your seats. Not really sure. You might have that scarcity mindset in your heart, in your head. But I want to show you today, as fully devoted followers of Jesus, we need to have a different mindset. We need to govern our lives by a different principle. Because God does. That's what God did. If God said, oh, I'm not going down to that planet, they've got sin. Those people are dirty. They hate each other. They're greedy and I'm not sending my son there. Are you ridiculous? What, he's going to have to suffer? Oh, goodness. No. I'm not doing that. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to him. If God would have said that, we wouldn't be redeemed by the blood of Christ today. We wouldn't have the hope and the salvation through the cross, and that hope of heaven, that promise of eternity that He has given us. God was generous enough to give it all He had. He did not withhold Himself, even His high position as a God. He laid it down to become a man, to become like you and I, to experience what we experience, and to lay down His life because He loved us so much. God is generous. God always has been from the very beginning generous. And we need to act in the same way. When His Son was here on this earth, He acted generously. He lived His life giving to the least of these. He gave His life to those who people looked down upon, who were despised and rejected. He ministered to them, those that needed Him the most, and He gave of Himself even to the point of His very life on the cross so that we would have eternal life. God was generous. Jesus lived it out here on this earth. Generosity. We need to be generous too. And you can apply this not just to money today, but to your time, to anything you have. We need to have a lifestyle of generosity. So this is what we do today. We give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7 is our passage today. And we're going to read verses 7 to 11. And we're going to start out verse 7 to 9. It says this, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So if you feel manipulated into giving, if you feel guilted into giving, if you feel pressured into giving, don't give. You're giving in the wrong heart and the wrong motivation. God is not going to be pleased with your gift if you feel guilted into it. Well, I guess I should. All right, here's my tithe. Oh, this really, really hurts. Okay, I'll put it in the plate. God doesn't want a gift that you give begrudgingly. In the arms of an angel, run away. Hello, just $20 a month could pay for this dog's life to save it. Sarah McLachlan, the dog video, okay? Everyone see that commercial? Please say I'm not the only one. Okay, thank you. Pity laughter, okay? They show the dogs that are all beaten up and mutilated, and they're guilting you into giving them your money. It's a huge guilt trip. Give because you love animals, if you love them that much to donate to whatever cause it is, I can't think. But anyway, give to Sarah McLachlan if you want to save some dogs. But we should give more than just because we love the thing that we're supporting, because we love Jesus. And if we're giving out of the benefit of, if we're giving out of the heart of saying, I love Jesus, so I'm going to give, then no matter what we're giving to, God is going to be blessed by it. God says we should give not under pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, joyfully, hilariously. God wants us to have a good attitude about giving. God, this hurts. This is a sacrifice from me, but I'm going to give it because I know it's going to bless somebody else. God, I saw someone whose groceries fell out of the bottom of their bag at the grocery store, and I'm running late, but it hurts. I'm going to stop and sacrifice my time and give generously to help them pick that up, because I know that it is what your son would have done. I know it reflects Christ in my actions. When you live your life around a principle of generosity, let's read on, verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, it says. As the scriptures say, they shall freely give generously. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. God loves it when you're generous. People love it when we're generous. It is a tremendous joy when we're generous. And that is what we do. As Christians, as believers, as members and of people who go to this church, I want that to be what you do. Here's something cool. Jesus simplifies the Ten Commandments down into two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said these two commandments sum up the entire Ten Commandments. This is the law, the new law that he gives. Well, when we give, when we live our lives in generosity, we're blessing others, and at the same time, we bless God. We are loving people and loving God at the same time. When we give of ourselves, we fulfill both of those commandments at the same time. If we hold back from giving, if we hold back that generosity, if we do not give, who are we worshiping? Ourself. My time is more valuable than that person who dropped their groceries on the floor. My money is more valuable to me than God's work, than what God wants to do with it. When we hold back, we're not worshiping. It's not an outward, it's an inward focused. But when we give, we love people and we love God at the same time. It lines up. It comes together and the Holy Spirit multiplies. God does something amazing. God blesses us and we can give some more. We give generously back. We have what we need. People, thank God, they remember it forever, as our passage says today. But we do this. We do this because of what God did and because of what God does. This is not a scarcity cycle in our minds anymore. This isn't consume, lack, fear. This is something completely different. Because of what God gave for us, we give and we like it. This is what God does. God multiplies abundantly. God multiplies abundantly. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to read on verses 10 and 11, say this: "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat." God provides in two ways. He gives bread to eat, that's for us, right? God provides so that we have things to take care of ourselves, the things we need. But the first part, that's interesting. God provides seed for the farmer. What do you do with seed? Is seed being effective if you hold it in your hands? Is seed effective if you just, look how much seed I have. I'm just overflowing with seed. I have so much seed, piles of seed, bags of seed, actually. And they're all in a storehouse and well-kept, and I know exactly where all my seeds are all the time. Are you going to do something with seeds? Seeds don't do anything when you hold them tightly. To make seeds effective for their purpose, you plant them. You put them in the ground, you take care of them, you water them, and they grow and produce a harvest. They produce more. God gives you seeds. The money you earn, the stuff you have every second of every day is a seed that God has given you. Are you going to hold on to it and keep it to yourself? Because it ain't doing anything in your pocket. It ain't doing anything in that little pouch that you get at the grocery store, okay? That seed is only effective when you plant it, when you give it away, when you spread it on the ground. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. What happens when you plant that seed, when you give it away, that seed that you got, when you plant it and grow, what's going to grow? Generosity plants. You're going to grow even more generous as you plant, as you give it away. God is, it's going to multiply. Can you see the ball start rolling here? It's going to grow and grow and grow. You're going to plant. You're going to give away. You're going to say, yes, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to give joyfully. And then God's going to say, all right, I'm going to give you back some. But you get to be generous with that now too. What? God gives us not so we can hold on to it, not so we can store more seeds. He gives it so that we can keep planting. And next year, maybe you'll be able to plant a bigger field and grow more generous plants. God wants to grow this harvest of generosity in you. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way. Why will you be enriched? To be afraid? Will you be enriched so that you're nervous? Does God enrich you so that you don't know where to go? Does God enrich you so you can have it all to yourself? Listen to what his word says. So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. When we use the harvest that has grown from the seeds that we planted, it brings glory to God. God thanks. God is being given glory by the gifts that we give, by our generosity. This is opposite to the common mindset of scarcity. The scarcity mindset goes like this. This cycle says, God supplies, whether you acknowledge it or not. We consume, we lack, we fear. We consume, we lack, we fear. It's this cycle that repeats. But a supply mindset says, God supplies, we give, God multiplies, our faith grows, and guess what? We get to give again. And God multiplies again, and our faith grows again, and we get to give again. It's this new cycle that God wants to instill in all of us, in our lives, in our minds, everyday decisions. If we are faced with this choice to have a scarcity mindset or a supply mindset, which one do you have? Are you giving so that God can use it and multiply it? And then so you can give some more? Or do you consume what you have, use it all up, and say, God, I don't know how to make ends meet. And you live in fear, and you're just begging God, give me more and more money. That's probably not going to solve your problem. But I think if we trusted God a little more and gave, even when we lack, I'm not saying be outrageous or foolish, but even when we feel lack, if we give, God, with a cheerful heart, God will bless that if we trust Him. When we worship Him and say, God, I return back to you 10% of what you give to me, God will multiply it, build our faith, and give some more. And instead of scarcity, we will find abundance and supply. The first step to this is tithing. Tithing breaks the cycle of scarcity and creates this new cycle of supply. It breaks that old thought process and creates this new one. And so tithing means, if you're not familiar, the first 10% of everything we receive belongs to God. The first 10% of everything that we receive, everything that we earn, aka what God blesses with us, to us, right? Everything that comes in, 10%, the first 10% belongs to God. The tithe is the Hebrew word maser, which means one-tenth. And a lot of people ask, this started with Abraham, way back before the Ten Commandments, before the law that God gave to Moses. And a lot of people think, is this really New Testament relevant? Is this something that is for the modern day and age? And I found two passages of Jesus promoting the idea of the tithe from Jesus himself. Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11:42. And they both tell of the same story, but Jesus says this. We're going to read in Luke 11:42. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe," this is the New Living Translation, "even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." See, the Pharisees were really, really picky about what they gave to God. They were like, oh, we're going to tithe, and this is it. But then that's all they did. That was it. And Jesus said, tithing, that's kind of common sense. Jesus said, you should tithe. Yes, absolutely you should tithe. You should do that. That's just common sense. But even more importantly, above and beyond that, don't slack on your social justice duties. Don't slack on being love to those who need it the most. Don't slack on feeding the poor. Don't slack on clothing the naked and giving homes to the homeless. Take care of everyone. Don't just give to God this much, but go above and beyond. There are other important things to do as well. Jesus says, though, and this is key, that tithing is second nature. Yes, tithe, absolutely tithe. You should do that, but also do this. Don't neglect the more important things. So Jesus said it. Tithing is just an assumption. Let's talk a little bit about the power of the tithe, about what the tithe does and how it can affect us, because it's not just about giving money. It's not just about paying the church. It's not just about, oh, it's that time of the month, we need to pay the tithe. It's not that time of the week, we need to take it out of the check. It shouldn't be a routine. It really has several different functions. The first thing is that the tithe teaches us to put God first. The tithe teaches us to put God first. And the purpose of the tithe, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, this is the Living Bible translation. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives." Very succinct, very, very clear right there. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. But you might say, Pastor, but for me to do that, I'd have to rearrange my whole life. Yeah, yes, you would. That's the point. You said, but I'd have to maybe give up something. Yes. Yes, you would. But wouldn't that stretch my faith? Yes, now you're getting it. Tithing is more about giving the money. It's less about giving the money. It's actually more about you. It's more about your heart and your own generosity and what it means for you. Because we're showing that we put God first in our lives. It might rearrange your whole life. It might rearrange how many times you go out to eat in a week. It might rearrange how many Dunkin' trips you make in the week. I don't know for you. I don't know what that means. But when we put God first before anything else, God loves that because it's worship, and he gives you blessings. He begins that cycle of supply when we give in that way. You see, Jesus' life was all about us. Jesus cared and he loved us so much that he gave himself for us. And he deserves our lives to be about him. Tithing, you see, is a matter of the heart. And what we do with our money shows where our priorities are. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, what do you value? What are the details, the things you care most about in your life? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we are able to give this tithe off the top of our paycheck, when we are able to give 10% of our income or more, whatever God lays on your heart, instead of keeping that money for ourselves, it shows that our heart isn't tied to our money. It shows that our heart isn't in love with our money. We prefer God. We love God more. Our money is not that important. The Bible mentions money more than 800 times, and over half of Jesus' parables talk about money. Why? Why do you think that is? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you, it's because people get tripped up on money so easily. It's easy to fall in love with money or to be too concerned about money because, I mean, you need it to survive to some degree in this life. You need it to have a livelihood, to pay for school, to do many things in this life. You need money, right? And it's easy to be overly concerned with that or overly focused on it to a point where it may become worship. But when we realize that God is in control of our finances and that everything we have has been given to us by him, then giving away that money is worship to him. It takes faith to give first, and it doesn't take faith to give last. You'd say, "Oh, okay, all my bills are checked out, I'm all good, and this is what's left over. Here you go, God. You get what's left over at the end. Have fun with it, do whatever you want, all right?" When we take it off the top, it is an act of faith. It stretches our faith and say, we're going to put God first. I'm going to give him what's first, what's best, off the top, right to you. Because I know it doesn't matter. If I feel like the budget's tight now, God, you can figure it out. You can make it work. And so the next thing that tithing does is it builds our faith. Tithing builds our faith. Malachi 3, verses 10 to 11 says this, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And then God says this powerful thing, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty." Bam. Test me in this. God says, "You don't believe it? You don't believe that I can do it? Give me your money. I can do it, all right? Test me. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse." You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. "Test me in this. Do it and just see that I won't bless you. See if I will not, as our verse says, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. See if my economy is not different than the world's. See if the world says consume, lack, and fear, I don't give so you can give. See if when you give to me first, I don't multiply it. See if I don't build your faith and create a harvest of generosity in your life. When you give first, tithe 10% of your income, God will bless and increase that in your life. God says in the only place in the Bible, challenge me, test me, see that I won't. You know me. I'm God. Yo. Okay. God says, give me your first and your best, and I will bless the rest. If you're outside of the tithe, if you're talking about stuff, when you have a donation, we make collections all through November and December for Thanksgiving food and for toys in December usually. Don't give something that's on its last leg. Don't give your worst and the least. When you give, give your best. Go out and buy a new toy. Donate something that has barely been touched or has been sitting in the attic because your kids outgrew it too quick or something. Give the best because that's what Jesus did. WWJD. He gave his best. He gave his all to us. Give me your first and best, and I will bless the rest. The truth is that 90% of your income with God's blessings goes further than 100% without his blessings. 90% of your incomes with God's blessing goes way further than 100% kept to yourself stingily. These seeds, look at all my income. That was me pouring it on my head, by the way. So, woo, seeds, okay? If kept to myself, if just sitting in a bag somewhere, it's not going to do squat. When we give even a portion of what he has given us, it's going to reap that harvest in our lives. You say, I can't afford to tithe. Well, you'll never be able to until you do. This kind of reminds me how this works when you just do it. Just do it. We were paying off my school loans from Valley Forge Christian College, now the University of Valley Forge. And our goal, I thankfully married a wonderful woman who gave me no school debt when I married her, which was beautiful. I consider that her dowry or whatever. Just kidding. But so I had about $40,000 in school debt, and our goal was to pay it off as soon as possible, whenever we can. We were on the Dave Ramsey kick, and we were just chugging away at this debt. But it seemed impossible when we got started. Like, $40,000, that's a lot of money, okay? Now we have a mortgage, so that seems like a lot of money, too. But $40,000, we ended up paying it off in 24 months as a kids pastor. But this seemed so impossible. But what happens is, as you just do it, as you determine in your heart and in your finances, as far as this goes, to just do it, we saved as much as we can, and whenever we saved, we threw it at our loans. It's like, bye-bye loan. And as you pick away, little by little, soon or later, oh, that little loan is gone. We got a very nice letter that says, congratulations, you don't owe us any more money. And we throw it up in the air in celebration and hug, and it was glorious. And then little by little, oh, there's another one. No more loan there. And then you take what you were paying on that loan and you throw it in the next loan and the next loan. And suddenly you're paying on these loans way more than you could ever thought were possible in the beginning. And they're going by faster and faster and faster. And sooner or later, you can scream debt-free on the Dave Ramsey show. And it's amazing. Okay, we didn't. We wanted to, but I don't remember why. But anyway, now we own a house, so not debt-free, but we have property, so forget I said that. The point is that as you're going along, little by little, you have these victories and these wins, and if you don't determine to do it from the start, you're never going to do it. It's the same way with tithing. If you do it, you will see God's blessings in your life. As you give faithfully and out of the goodness of your heart, joyfully, you will see God's blessings and it will spark in you. Wow. Wow. We should do this. We should have done this years ago. We should have given our money away years ago. And God will bless you for that, and it allows you to give more. And maybe you say, oh, now I want to pick a missionary over there and support them. And you take your dart and you throw it at the missions wall, and whatever it sticks, that's the missionary you're going to support, okay? If you want to use that method, it is a cork board, so you could probably actually get away with it. But maybe you want to move on to that. Maybe you want to support, give extra a little above to kids ministry. Say, I want to support kids ministry because I want to give even more. And watch God's blessings. He says, test me on this. He says, say, prove it, God. He's like, I will. Don't give to me begrudgingly. give to me joyfully and see that I won't multiply what you have given and give it back to you. Not so you can have more stuff, but so you can give it away. So you can give it away. If God isn't that first place position in your life, you have no desire to give to him first. If God isn't in that first place position already, you won't have that desire. You want to hoard it for yourself. God doesn't bless that. That's not sacrifice. The third thing that a tithe does, the power that a tithe has, is it provides for the work of God's church. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouses that there may be food in my house." The way I mentioned this at the beginning, I thank you for your generosity. The way that we keep the lights on and keep the parking lot paved and make sure we have curriculum and toys for the kids downstairs and make sure we can put on a VBS or a fall outreach or a carnival is because you give. And I can never be more grateful, but that is the power that the tithe has to support the ministries. And if you love your church, if you believe in the mission and what it's doing, then you should give. You should give. Simple as that. As your life has been impacted, as you receive, as you give, you will be impacted again. You get those butterflies. You'll realize God is using your money, your resources, your stuff, your time to make a change, to make a difference. That's the reason we support so many missionaries on that wall over there. Because your money that you give goes to put money in their pockets so people can come to know the saving grace of who Jesus Christ is. Because we want to change the world with what we do. And you say, "Oh, I can't go to Zambia. I can't go to Scotland." But you can send your resources there. You can send your money there. And that will change a life. Just this week, we had the opportunity to help out a family in the community who wasn't sure how they were going to pay their bills this week. They had fell on some hard times, and they didn't know how they were going to make it, where all the money was going to come from, how everything was going to sync up. And because you gave, because you've given, we had the opportunity to bless them abundantly, and so they can make it through this week. We as a church were able to do that because you as a church are generous. And I thank you for that. There's one last thing I want to talk about quickly. It's not in your notes. But it's something God has really been dealing with me on a personal level, and I really feel like I need to share it. I was able to share on Wednesday night a little bit, and that's about selfishness. Because generosity is the opposite of selfishness. Selfishness says, "I want more, I need more, give me more, these things aren't worth it, but my time is worth more than your time. I am worth more than you. My money is worth more than God's plans." And God has really been challenging me, how much do I give of myself? Do I do things that I don't necessarily want to do because of the sake of the gospel? Because I knew that it would reflect Jesus. God has really been challenging my heart. And so I want to challenge you guys too, because I think it's something that we all need to hear at some part in our lives. In some area of our lives, we could be more giving and more generous. If you're concerned about being happy or getting more for us, you might be selfish. If you're fearful and you hoard or you save because of fear, we need to ditch that mindset, that scarcity mindset. You might be selfish. If we hold back or don't do things we don't want to do just because we don't feel like it right now, maybe we feel like that's something's not worth your time or energy, you might be selfish. That's something my generation, this millennial generation, has to deal with and overcome a lot, I think. You skip church because you woke up tired or went to bed too late or ran out of your favorite cereal or forgot to shower or just don't feel like singing today. You might be selfish. And I don't want to come down hard on you because I struggle with this myself. Remember, God started challenging me, but I feel like I need to challenge you as well. What's our cure for self? What's our cure for selfishness? It's giving. Our cure for selfishness is giving. If we find that you say to yourself, man, one of the two of those things really rang true to me. I don't know. What do I do about it? Pastor, how can I get help? Give. Give your time. Give your money. Give your resources. Generosity is the polar opposite of selfishness. Giving away self versus only concerned with self. It's not, your money isn't for God because he doesn't need money. He's God. We don't send it up to heaven. Okay. And he uses the cash and does whatever he wants to with it. We manage the money that he has given, blessed us with here on earth. But your money isn't for God. Your money, what God wants more than anything is your worship. Worship is sacrifice. And when we give to people, God is glorified. Our money becomes that worship. And God wants us to worship him generously, not stingy. He desires that people follow after him generously. So what is your life built around? Is it a scarcity mindset or is it a supply mindset? Do you live your life doing your very best to be generous for others and to others? Or do you live in fear of lack and so hoard for yourself? God responds to our worship, even money. Do you want to combat selfishness this morning? Be generous. Do you want to see God's generosity enter your life? Be generous yourself. That's what our passage said today. Maybe that start for you is the tithe. Maybe that start for you is donating some clothes to the shed outside. Maybe that start for you is asking God what you can give at our first fruits offering coming up. Whatever it is, whatever God is speaking to your heart right now, be generous. Live a life of generosity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you were not stingy. You were not selfish. Father, you did not keep your son to yourself. But you came down as a man. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, to give his all for us. And before that, he lived his life as a life of generosity, giving it for all who need. How many times in the Word does it say, and Jesus was tired and wanted to lay down, but he saw the people and had compassion on them. Jesus sacrificed. He laid down and lived a life of generosity. Lord, he did that as an example to each of us. Lord, let us not be driven by fear or anxiety or lack. Lord, let us live in abundance. And when we give joyfully to your cause, Lord, we will sow abundantly. Lord, whatever that start is for us, help us to live with that generosity in us. Lord, because you have given us so much. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you do give us, for the ways you pour out, for the lifestyle that we are able to live, Lord, in this nation, Father. Lord, we just thank you for all that you give. Lord, help us to show our appreciation by giving a little of it back. Lord, bless us today as we go. Help us to transform our life into one of generosity. We love you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. As you go today, change that scarcity mindset into one of supply. Allow God's blessings to flow to you as you give. Love you guys. God bless.